Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today. So let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome. I'm so glad you're here this afternoon for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, where I am going to bring you the latest and greatest news and guests from all around the world of quilting. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Let's get right to our first guest because I am so excited. Everybody loves to talk about color. Quilters and color, that's like a big thing. So we have author and publisher Joan Wolfe from here on the show today, and she has written a whole bunch of books about color, and she has this fabulous tool called 3-in-1 Color Tool. And that's really what we're gonna get Joan to tell us all about this. So hi, Joan, how's it going?
Hi, how are you? It's sunny here, so I'm really happy.
Ah, fabulous, fabulous. We were just discussing TogiNet is in Texas, and it's been quite the summer in Texas. A little warm.
Yes. Well, we're not there.
No, I'm not either. I'm in Virginia. It's nothing like Texas. It's quite interesting.
Yeah.
So, first of all, I had a before I forget, there was somebody who wrote on my blog and just said that they love your work and they've been following it since they started quilting and just wanted to say hi. So,
oh, that's sweet. That's really nice. Thank them.
Yeah. So let's talk about. You know, you have written a lot of books about color. We're going to talk about your newest book coming up. But you came up with this tool called the Ultimate 3-in-1 Color Tool. And I am fascinated because, Joan, I am like color wheel, you know, deficient. So I think this was made for me, wasn't it?
Well, it was made for all of us. I mean, I use it all the time. And because I don't, then I don't have to think.
Oh.
So
I like that part.
So, yeah, you know, then this is probably the third edition of the color mm-hmm. tool. So, but I'll just tell you a little bit about the tool itself. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter which edition anybody has. It's the best time to use the color tool is when you want to work with a specific color, like blue. Mm-hmm. And then there's 24 color cards, and you go to the card that represents that color that you're interested in, like blue. Mm-hmm. And on the card, on one side of the card, there's about 32 different colors of blue that are all made from that pure color blue. Mm-hmm. And so this gives you a kind of a visual summary of what happens within that color.
Right, and, light to dark.
Like darks, lights.
Right.
Colors, blue's been whitened and blackened and grayed down. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side of the card, we show five major color combinations that work best with this particular color. And they're color plans that are based on nature. So it gives you just the most wonderful color combinations at a glance. And you can, this tool is small enough you can put it in your purse, unless you have a really tiny purse. And you can take it to the quilt store, the fabric store, the furniture store, the paint store, or I use it in my you know, when I don't have a studio, I just have a room that I sew in. Mm-hmm. And so I use it often because it limits me. I mean, it says, okay, this is, if I want to work with blue and I mm-hmm. look to see what combination I want, then it verifies what I want, and then I pull my fabrics from it, and it just clarifies. If I'm at the quilt store, I can buy fabric and check it out within a second or two.
So if you know, like, you're working with, well, we'll stay with blue, because I've also got the blue card open. So you have all these little wheels with all the like, names on them, like the mm-hmm. monochromatic and the split complementary. But, like, you know, my brain doesn't understand those, but it tries. But you have the color. So that when I look, I can see the blue, and then I can see its complement is orange. And it's visually, like, on a wheel.
Right, the complement, for instance, blue, and also if you don't like the name, we also have numbers for those people who don't like names. But the actual complement for blue is orange yellow. Mm-hmm. So then you take the orange yellow card, which is also card number 23, and then you can just walk through go to your stash and pull those colors, or you can if you're in the store, you can just go to those two different areas and pull right. the fabrics that are show those colors. The one thing I'd like to emphasize about it is that, you know, in blue, for instance, there's literally hundreds and hundreds of hues from pure blue. So this card only has like 32. So you're not trying to match a swatch. What you're trying to do is you put the card on top of the fabric and say, does it feel like it belongs? Well, if I'm not sure, I'll pull the card from either side and try that. And usually it's like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It's like, this one's too warm, this one's too cool, and this one's just right. So, you know, it works really well, but don't try to match swatches.
Yeah, that's a good point, because people don't want to get too, you don't want to get too tied into that.
No, you're just, and you're going to find some variation. I mean, this card is in the, like, blue, it's the middle color of blue, but there's blues that kind of veer more toward violet, blue-violet, and more towards cerulean blue, but it's still blue. You know, they just have different. And in the latest, the ultimate tool, the latest one, I changed the color swatches a bit, and then we added CMYK, the cyan, magenta, yellow, and black, RGB, and hex color formulas. For quilters, this means that if you are on an Illustrator program of some sort, that you can key in the colors specifically, and it tells you exactly what formula you need.
That's really nice, because there are a lot of people doing that now. You know, it's not just professional people using graphics packages. They're doing it to have fun, too. And then it also, there's a new poster that came out, too, that
there is. I've been asking C&T to do a color wheel since 1992, so it's taken me a long time to get this done. But the color wheel, it's called the Studio Color Wheel, but it's a color wheel. And the color tour are meant to be companions. They're just, they're partners. And the color wheel gives you an overall picture of the 24 basic colors on the color wheel and their relationships to each other. So you can see those relationships at a glance when you're looking at the wheel. It's a large poster, so you can put it on your wall or you can put it on a table. And then the tool is the workhorse. You know, it does all the... you know, what's going into a color, but they, so they have two different tasks that they're doing.
Right.
And the one thing I wanted to say about the color wheel is that this particular Studio Color Wheel is based on nature and the science of color, or the physics of color. So it uses the primaries of yellow, magenta, and turquoise, or cyan. And this is based on the light wave, and it creates the most beautiful blends of colors and reiterates nature. And it's often called Ives Color Wheel. But anyway, it's the yellow, magenta, and turquoise. But we all grew up with a different color wheel with yellow, red, and blue.
Yeah.
And what quilters have to realize is that fabric manufacturers, thread manufacturers, all use the yellow, magenta, and turquoise color wheel. And so by using the old-fashioned color wheel, it's frustrating because the colors aren't quite right. And the complements aren't quite right. So your choices of colors are not as good if you use the old color wheel than if you use the up-to-date modern scientific color wheel.
Well, then people just need to upgrade. So this
they do.
Will be a good opportunity. Now, Joan, tell me, I want to hear about your book. You have a new book coming out in September called Adventures in Design. So what's going to be in this book?
I'm so excited about this book. And it's obviously a book about design. And it's just for anybody and everybody who wants to learn more about design or who would like to make more beautiful quilts or more beautiful artwork. And I've separated it into three sections. The first section really goes into all the elements, and it's just illustrated in so many different ways. And
does it have your photography in it? Because
it has my
photographer.
It has my photography. It has paintings. It has quilts. The quilts are amazing. The quilts in this book are just simply amazing, from traditional to I can't even believe what some of the people are doing out there nowadays that are using. Then the second section is all the different principles of design. And then the third section is designed specifically for quilters. It covers a lot of the issues that are just pertinent to quilts that have nothing, you know, that are added on to, you know.
Okay.
It took me about 2.5 years to write and illustrate the book, and I love the book, and so I'm hoping everybody else will too.
Well, I think they'll have to be looking for it. I know I am because
it's coming out in September.
It's always interesting to see designed in something besides a quilt.
Yes, yes.
See how it can go across. Now, I want people to know that you have a website. It's jwdpublishing.com.
That's my pattern company website, and as we talked, I think, earlier, that tomorrow I'm going to start putting out a color blog on that website. And
I'm excited about that.
I'm excited about it. It's time for me to share in a different way, in a more, what would you say, techie way. I'm so untechnical, so this is going to be really interesting. But I'm sure people will help me out there. But I wanted to be communicative, and I want to share a lot of the knowledge. And sometimes I think I can do that in a different way than in a book.
And the blogs are really interesting, and it'll be on the blog off of your website.
Yes, it's going to be like blog.jwdpublishing.com, and then it's the name of my blog is called Playing with Color.
So they can just
click on Playing with Color, or my name, I think. But Playing with Color will probably get it.
So the first one will be out this coming week, then?
It'll be out tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
So we have like about 30 seconds, Joan, believe it or not. This just flies. Yeah, I know. So tell me what, besides that, that's coming up for you, what, you know, what else is coming up that you might have?
This has nothing to do with quilting, but I am going to be doing a couple of gallery shows for my photography.
Wonderful.
And I'm a little bit nervous because I'm not at all ready, which seems to be the story of my life. But it's really fun, and I love photography, and I love the creative, artistic part of photography.
Well, it's going to be an awesome exhibit. I am totally sure because you're just amazing. I thank you, Joan.
Thank you so much, Pat, for inviting me. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye. This has been Joan Wolfram from JWDPublishing.com. And I'm Pat Sloan. We'll be back after a break.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to Facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Beautiful computerized quilting is simple with the HQ Pro Stitcher. Every design becomes a perfect fit for your quilt with the HQ Pro Stitcher. You can resize, repeat, rotate, and crop right on the new 10-inch color touchscreen. No computer needed. The HQ Pro Stitcher works with all HQ Stitch regulated machines and has a quick setup that allows you to get quilting in no time.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Make your projects so much easier with great products from Sewline. Sewline offers a variety of innovative quality marking tools for quilters and sewers. The Sewline Trio is a 3-in-1 fabric marking tool that allows you to quickly change from black ceramic to white lead to a blank stylus with just one click. Both leads are water-soluble and designed to provide a crisp, clean line that's easy to erase. To purchase Sewline products, visit your local quilt shop.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com. take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Well, I have a guest here that if you are not familiar with her work, then you just need to jump right on the internet and check out her website, heartspunquilts.com with Pam Buddha. The website is just totally adorable. I mean, just absolutely adorable. And Pam is a very consistent author with American Patchwork and Quilting, so you'll find her work often in our magazines. So, hi, Pam. How are you?
Hi, Pat. I'm just fine. I'm so glad to be with you today. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. This is really cool. I'm glad to have you here because, you know, we're going to talk about two different things in this segment. You wrote an article for American Patchwork and Quilting's June issue of 2011 called Make Do Quilts. And yep. I just love the article. It is, and I want you to tell me about that. Tell me what a Make Do Quilt is because people may not know.
Sure, my pleasure. Mm-hmm. A make-do quilt is a quilt where the maker had a theme in mind. So, mm-hmm. for instance, the feature quilt in the article is a great example, so I'll follow that example. And it okay. is blue blocks with a mm-hmm. Blue fabric with a cream or light background mm-hmm. and pink setting squares and triangles. Mm-hmm. So our theme then would be pink, white, and blue. Uh-huh. And so you have to look for a theme because otherwise it's just a scrappy quilt per se. And while you can have make-do elements in a scrappy mm-hmm. quilt, a true make-do quilt is one where you can set out and see that she had a theme in mind, whether it be blocks or a color or right. something. And along the way, for many reasons, she had to abandon that theme and make do in one of the many different types of make-do elements, substituting fabric for a variety of different reasons.
Yeah, so like the quilt that you're talking about, the pink setting, and it's got the blue and cream blocks, there's one block that's like there's no cream in it.
Correct. The background yeah. was then substituted. She did maybe ran out of the white, and right. so she had to substitute a blue. Mm-hmm. And in a couple of other blocks where the blue she ran out of, she substituted a black. And mm-hmm. then there's one little guy in there that looks beige but may have been a different color that faded to beige.
Right. And so, I think that's really interesting that you made a difference how, you know, a scrappy quilt, people would expect that, you know, all different fabrics. And,
yeah.
you know, but these where they look like, you know, it really does look like somebody intended to have all blue and cream blocks, but something went awry.
Something went awry. And the reason that make-do quilts are so dear to me, I mean, they just grab my heart, mm-hmm. is because you can clearly see that she went out to make a blue, white, and pink quilt. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, you know, yeah. whatever, had to yeah. abandon that theme and made the quilt anyway. Where today, we're so used to scouring the world over to find oh. yet another blue to make it, quote-unquote, perfect.
Right,
she
right.
made do and went ahead, and it was loved and cherished anyway.
Right,
and make do
today,
has a lot
know,
to
quilters
teach us.
Would be on the internet, wouldn't they? And like calling all their friends,
absolutely.
Going on Facebook, and saying, "Do you?" And showing the picture of the one fabric they're missing. Do you have this fabric?
Exactly, but, and we're used to doing that, and that's okay too. But learning to embrace making do has really freed me and a lot of other quilters out there mm-hmm. that are starting to do make do's in the Prairie Women's Sewing Circle Club.
Yeah, and that's your club that you run. Tell us about that now.
I created the Prairie Women's Sewing Circle Club out of my two loves. One is obviously the make-do quilts, mm-hmm. and the other one is my love of American history from 1840 to 1900, where women sewed daily of necessity. So they made their clothing, they made their quilts, their linens, they made the covers for their wagon.
Yeah.
And then thus, sewing was so much a part of their daily lives that it was easy for me to write anecdotal stories about what life was like for them doing all of these different things. So the club is a monthly club.
Pam, are they like run on your website or are they run in quilt stores?
That's a great question. They are monthly clubs available exclusively through participating quilt shops only.
Okay.
And so you don't have to be physically at. Yep. You don't have to be physically at the shop if you can't make it. You can always become a member by mail through one of the participating shops.
Okay.
And so then each month you would receive a packet with an anecdotal story about what life was like. For instance, life en route on the wagon trail or when the Singer treadle sewing machine came out, what they thought about that. Mm-hmm. Young girls learning to sew patchwork at the tender age of 5. Mm. Or perhaps courting practices of the 1800s, where they had to sew for their dowries and things like that. So that's kind of a little sample of what the anecdotal stories are like. And then each month also features a monthly, small, doable, affordable quilt project, which is written normally like I would for a normal pattern. And normal being that if it was, to use our previous example, a blue, white, and pink quilt, it is made totally for blue, white, and pink. And then a little further on in the pattern, I give a lesson in making do so that I'm teaching every month about what the different make do elements are and how I incorporated that into the quilt that you see on the cover. So that if you want to make the quilt like I did and put in make do's, that's what you should do to make it. But otherwise, if you don't want to, you don't have to.
And you have a make-do primer on your website, which is kind of nice for people who want to, you know, aren't really still sort of understanding what it is. They can go to heartspunquilts.com.
You bet. And on the left navigation tabs, you'll see the make-do primer, and you can download that as a PDF, and it goes element by element what the most popular elements that you see are.
They can get the current magazine.
Absolutely. And then you can see in the magazine some examples of my antique make-dos.
Right. And you have a lot of those.
I would like to have a lot more. Oh, yes, I have some. I'm collecting all the time.
Well, I have a basket quilt. You know, this has got me thinking. I have very few antique quilts that I own, but I have one that's a basket quilt, and I have this feeling that there's something like that in there. I have to go pull it out and look at it. Now, when we were talking, Pam, back and forth, getting organized for the show, you were telling me that you have a unique way of preparing your fabric to work with it, and I would love for you to share that.
What I truly believe in is through 10 years of experience is that starching my fabric before I cut it. So this is a big, big deal. Don't forget. Now do this before you cut it while it's in the yardage stage.
Right.
Starching or sizing the fabric to give it some really good oomph and some good body makes a world of difference in the whole quilting process. So from cutting to sewing to crisp seams, and it really helps hold those bias pieces together too.
And so you're starching it in a unique way, right?
Yes. Starching is not something that I'm alone doing. There's lots of professional quilters and regular everyday quilters doing this. But I use a method that gets lots of starching done with little or less time.
Right.
And it saves a little bit of money by doing it in my washing machine.
I think that's fascinating. I have never heard anybody starch in their washing machine.
Well, I do it because, like I said, it saves a little time and money, and I use the StayFlow liquid starch, which is available at any grocery store, and I take 1.5 cups of that liquid starch and mix it with 4 cups of water, and I can starch 4 yards of like-colored fabrics in my lift-up-the-top washing machine. So this is not a front loader, I understand.
Right, yeah.
But for the regular kind of washing machine, it works beautifully.
Cool. That's a good one.
I think so. Would you like me to tell you a little bit how it's done?
Sure.
So 4 yards of light-colored fabric, you rinse and spin just because you don't want to add the starch mixture to dry fabric. Mm-hmm. And then the mixture is added to the fabric where you squish it to work in the mixture and distribute it nice and evenly. Mm-hmm. Then you rinse one more, spin, don't rinse.
Yeah.
To remove as much of the excess mixture as you can, hang it out to dry in your house. And I, you know, have the drying racks and all kinds of pants hangers and things like that to put it out on. And you give it 30 or 45 minutes to air dry it. And the only reason you do that is because then you're not ironing forevermore.
Right, you're
letting it become just a little damp when you take it to the iron board and then finish drying it with the iron, and it comes out beautifully.
Oh my gosh, that is so cool.
Now, you can find that, all the information, pictorials and everything else on the website. It's all in my hints book, which is also on the website.
Cool, cool, cool. Well, we have another minute or so here. I wanted to talk about the fact that you have some of your designs on the allpeoplequilt.com website. Your blueberry pie is one of the projects, and you have Scattered Leaves, which was a cover quilt, wasn't it?
It was. I was so excited, very, very excited and honored.
Those are very cool quilts. And let's see, you also have another one, which I think is one of your antiques.
Yes, bubblegum, blue jeans and bubblegum.
Yeah. So how many antique quilts do you have, my dear?
I don't think I've counted. Not that there's too many to count, Pat. Probably 2 dozen, let's say somewhere around the 2 dozen mark.
Okay. Well, that's not bad. You need more.
I do.
Now, you also blog, and you do you do that, like, every week?
I try to do it twice a week. Sometimes life gets in the way, and it's once a week. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it more than I ever thought I would. And
people
out there are just so generous and kind and with their comments, and I'm having lots of fun.
Yeah, if you go to Pam's blog today, in July, she has her 4th of July decorations.
I do. I enjoyed that. Yeah. And I love seeing pictures of other people's homes and decorations for inspiration. Mm-hmm. So for whatever it's worth, I just thought I'd throw mine out there.
No, it's really great. And you have a newsletter, too.
I do try and put out a newsletter. I don't put them out all that often, except for when there's really news. Mm-hmm. So not to clog anybody's inbox.
When there's really news.
So once in a while, I do have news to share and put out whatever's coming up in my world.
Well, that's really cool. Now, we have just a few more seconds. So what's coming up for you? Anything in 5 seconds?
Well, I'm working on Journey 3 and 4 for the club. So those keep me very busy, as well as a new line of patterns. Very much like the project seen in the Prairie Women Club called Vintage Stitches. It's a series.
Cool. Well, Pam, this has been wonderful. I'm so glad you've been here.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you so much for having me.
That was Pam Buddha from HeartspunQuilts.com. And we'll be right back after the break. This is Pat Sloan.
Downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pam.
What have you been quilting lately?
I just finished a Lone Star quilt for my niece's wedding.
Oh, I can't wait to see the finished quilt.
Me too. I have so many finished tops that I'm really considering looking into a long arm of my own. Don't you have a handy quilter? I've heard good things about them.
I do, and I love my HQ18 Avante. No more UFOs at my house. I have so much space to work with, and it's so fast. The stitch regulator gives me perfect stitches every time, and the precision glide track systems makes quilting so smooth I could quilt all day.
I would love that. I've been looking at the HQ24 Fusion.
Oh, I think that would be perfect for you. It's got all the great HQ features of the Avante with more throat space. You'll love working with Handy Quilter. Their customer service is top-notch.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Moda Fabrics brings you the hottest new fabric lines for quilting. We work with more than 40 of your favorite independent designers, as well as in-house design staff to make sure you have the latest and greatest in fabrics. We're committed to creating high-quality products and providing excellent customer service. And for 35 years, Moda Fabrics has proudly supported the independent quilt shop. Visit your local independent quilt shop to see what's new from Moda Fabrics.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Hi, this is Pat Sloan. We're back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Before I have my next guest on, I just want to tell you very quickly that I am going to be visiting one of our current quilt sampler shops, a quilt sampler issue, spring-summer 2011. The Tennessee Quilt Shop down in Jonesboro, Tennessee, has an event right at the end of the month called Quilt Fest, end of July. And I'm going to be there. I'm going to be doing a lecture, and I will be doing classes. So if you are near Jonesboro, Tennessee, at the end of July 2011, come to Quilt Fest. Come say hi. I would love to meet you. And the shop, of course, is absolutely amazing. And you can see it and read about the owners, sisters, Brenda Couch and Linda Couch, Crouch McCready. So learn all about them. No, they're sister-in-laws. I'm sorry. So there you go. Just wanted to let you know that was going on. All right. We are now going to have on my, my friend, Amanda Herring. She is just like clever and delightful. And what's really fun is that she does very, very whimsical work, and just everything she does just makes me smile from ear to ear. I just love her to death. So we're going to talk about fabric and creating with Miss Amanda. How are you, Amanda?
I'm wonderful, Pat. Thanks so much for having me.
You know, Amanda, you must have a very good sense of humor.
I try. I have to. I have to live with myself.
Well, if you didn't all catch that, Amanda's last name is Herring, and her design company is called The Quilted Fish. And I just think that that is incredibly cute.
Oh, thank you. I like gimmicky. I like things that, you know, help people to remember who I am or what I do. So
well, I don't think we could forget the quilted fish. So,
Well, I get a lot of questions about that. Why did you pick that? Even
right,
for people
right.
that know me. So,
right, they're not connecting the herring.
No,
part, so.
No.
Okay, so first, why don't you tell me how and why you started to quilt? Because I don't actually know that.
Well, it's kind of interesting because I've been sewing since I was very young. I used to ride my bike to sewing lessons when I was 8 or 9 years old. And so I always wanted to quilt, but it was something I kept putting off until I was, you know, quote unquote older.
Yeah.
And then I have a son, and then I had two little girls, I had twins. And about a year after my twins were born, I was diagnosed with severe depression, and I thought, I need to find something. I need a creative outlet. I need something. And there was this cute little quilt shop in my neighborhood, and I just started living there. Basically, I just, my first 3 months, I think I made 17 quilts.
Oh my gosh,
I was
Amanda.
Just hooked. I just loved it.
That's a lot of quilting.
It was so much fun though.
Oh my gosh, I can just imagine you being there every day. You know, that's what a quilt shop is like though, isn't it?
It was, and I ended up actually working there because I was there so much. I just thought, well, this is a natural transition.
Right.
But I work here, too, and she was very kind to let me work there. So
I was going to say, they probably just needed you to do something, you know, like the classroom's busy, Amanda. Why don't you just come and stock shelves for us for a while?
Yeah, I'll pull tack quarters. I'll do anything. Just let me be by the fabric.
Right. Oh, my gosh. So is that shop still there where you hung
it
out?
It is. It is. It's called Material Girls Quilting, and it's in South Jordan, Utah.
Cool. So, you know, that's quite an immersion into the craft.
Oh, yes. It was quick and fast, and I was
hooked.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you think about that, if you're doing that many quilts in that short a time, you are like totally, you're learning so much more than when you do that many over 5 years, like regular people, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, you know, for me, it was a very natural transition. I'd been mm-hmm. sewing clothing, and I'd gone mm-hmm. to school in interior design, so I'd done a lot of home deck stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought all of that stuff was tricky in quilting. You're sewing a straight seam. This is easy. I can do this.
Right, right. I think the same thing. When I learned to sew by making clothing, which is much more difficult.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
Yeah, I think
zippers,
you know, straight
gathers.
Seams are really, really easy. So when did you decide to take it the next step and make it your own business? You know, you were working in a shop, but what made you decide to make it your personal business?
Well, it wasn't long after that, you know, making a lot of other people's patterns that I started to think, you know, this is something, this is kind of a culmination of everything I've been trained in. I really like doing this. I'd like to do some of my own. And so it was just a few months later, the shop owner at that store let me have a trunk show there and start to sell my patterns. And I kind of went into it thinking, well, I'm not going to do this to make money. I'm just going to do this to have fun. And that's really how it went for me for about a year and a half before I got really serious about it.
That's, you know, that gave you a chance to get your feet wet and decide if you liked it too.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, because,
and I did. I liked it a lot. But, you know, it's a totally different thing when you're doing it for fun versus when you're doing it for a quote-unquote job. So
Right. Because it moves it out of the let's just make it for the local quilters to, you know, marketing and packaging. And
and going to market, which is a huge expense. But, I mean, it's great fun. But it's a big commitment to make.
It is. It is. And people probably don't realize that because, you know, when you go to the trade shows, that's business. And it's there's a lot of upfront money that has to happen that you don't really sometimes get back. It's marketing.
Yes, absolutely. And my husband used to always say, when are we going to stop hemorrhaging money for your business? Yes. So fortunately, that has stopped and he's much happier.
But, yeah, it does sort of go like that sometimes. You know, you are... Your colors are fresh and light and clear. I call them clear colors versus sort of the homey, you know, muddy down colors. You know, there's just all these different colorways in the world. So did you always work in the color families that you like now, or did you start in another set of fabrics?
No, I love brights. I'm drawn to them. I find that color makes me happy and it makes me want to create, which is odd because my house is decorated in much more neutral tones, so none of my quilts match my house.
Yeah.
But I love to design in bright colors. And I've tried a few times now in my past fabric lines to work with some more maybe autumn colors, fall colors, and it doesn't suit my designs and it never feels right in my heart.
Right.
So I've ended up going back to
those important.
Brights. It is very important. If I don't want to put something out to everybody else to buy, if I'm not absolutely happy with it.
So when you decided to design your own fabric, did you, you know, do up a plan? Did someone approach you? How did that happen for you?
Well, I was kind of approached by someone, you know, I was talking with a company and I live in South Jordan, not far from the home offices of Riley Blake Designs, and I had been working, they'd been really kind to give me lots of fabric to work with, and I'd kind of developed a relationship with them, and I felt like if I was going to work with anyone, I really wanted to work with them. And so I went and talked to them, and I said, would you be interested in working with me? And they said, yes, we'd love to. And then it took me 8 months to get it right after that. So they were really patient with me, but there was a lot of tears and going back and starting over. I think I started over 4 or 5 times before it finally clicked with me what I needed to do.
Now, are you designing or do you paint? I mean, like some people paint their patterns and some people do it in a graphics package. What is your method of designing your fabric?
Well, I start with doodles and, you know, back of an envelope or something. I'll just start drawing designs. And then when I get something I like, I'll go to Illustrator and I redraw it on a Wacom tablet into Illustrator. And then I do all of my own design work. So when I submit it to Riley Blake, it's finished. All the repeats are done. It's all straight from my hand. So
that's a lot of work.
It is. It is. But I really like being able to have all of the control, you know, when it's done, it's, you know, I know I feel good about submitting it because I've done every step and I really enjoy that part of it.
But your training prior, did you have any graphics training in college or anything?
No, actually, I didn't. When I went to college, I studied art history and I didn't know what I was going to do with that. So I went back and I did fashion design and I didn't know what I was going to do with that. And I went back and I did interior design. And this whole time I was studying a lot of art, taking a lot of art classes. My mom is an artist. So I had a lot of art background, but I did not know any of the design skills, how to become a graphic artist. Mm-hmm. And so I actually hired a very sweet lady, and she came and stayed with me for a few days and taught me how to do Illustrator. And that was how I started. Yeah.
Smart. That's a smart way. It's not easy to learn. You open up these programs as a blank screen.
Oh, and they're so robust. There's so much mm-hmm. to them that I don't know if you could ever know the whole program. It's just, they're intense.
They are intense. And what we do usually at the level of a quilt fabric line is so much less than what they're capable of.
Oh, I totally agree. But that's fine with me. I just wanted to know exactly, show me what I need to know.
Right,
I don't want to know all the stuff I don't need to know. So it worked out really good for me.
Now, is your latest line the one called Sugar and Spice? Is that the newest?
Yes. That is the current line. Then the newest one will be out this fall, and it's called Delighted.
Oh, okay. So on the Riley Blake site, it has both of your, well, it doesn't have Delight. It has Sweet Divinity and Sugar and Spice. So Sugar and Spice is in the stores right now.
Right, right. If you go to Coming Soon, I think it is listed under there.
Now, tell me how you go about collecting for the colors. This line is like teals and reds and creams, and there's a green in there. Do you do a design board? How do you get that colorway going?
Well, the last two times I've done it, the first two lines were different than the second two lines. So my first two lines, I got a lot of help from Riley Blake. They would, you know, we would talk about what colors worked well for them. There's some colors that are a lot easier to work with when you're printing fabric than others.
Right.
A lot easier to get right. And so I wanted a lot of input from them about, you know, what colors are going to print well, what am I going to be happy with.
Right.
And then they would help me the first couple times. So with Sweet Divinity and Sugar and Spice, we worked together to put together a color palette.
Mm-hmm.
With Delighted, my next line, I knew exactly what I wanted. I didn't at first. I should say that. I went through. That was the one I tried fall colors with. We tried browns and everything I was unhappy with. And then I got a vision for what I wanted. And it's been the same way with this next line. I like to pick what selling really well, what's really popular with people, because that's usually what I really like too.
Right.
So, you know, it's got to have brights in it, and it's got to be, I always have to have green. There always has to have a green because there's always flowers.
Yeah. Right,
and
exactly.
There has to be a pink.
Leaves.
Yep. And it has to be a pink. And beyond that, you know, it's a lot of playing around and pulling out the Pantone deck and you know, I like this color. How does this color play with this color? Mm-hmm. So it's not a really great system, I wouldn't say, but it works for me.
Well, that's what's important, because everybody's system is different. It's what works for them. And it's always interesting to hear how different people work, because if somebody's has one that isn't working, then they might like yours. Now, we're going to take a break, Amanda.
Okay.
And we'll be back after the break. And Amanda has a fun thing she's doing on her website. She's going to tell us about her on her blog. So be right back.
Win free stuff. Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Come see what's cooking at the Moda Bake Shop website. You'll find free recipes for using the wide range of Moda pre-cuts from your favorite designers and quilt shops. We've got ideas for using a variety of ingredients, including honey buns, jelly rolls, layer cakes, charm packs, and more. Instructions with detailed step-by-step photos guide you through the recipes and the fun. New projects served up daily at modabakeshop.com.
Do you love free motion quilting but struggle to fit your project in a small throat space? The HQ Suite 16 is designed for you. With 16 inches of throat space, there is room to work on even a king-size quilt. The smooth surface of our height-adjustable table allows your project to glide under the needle with ease. The HQ Suite 16 is built with powerful HQ technology designed to handle all your quilting projects.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Hey, we're back with Amanda Herring of The Quilted Fish. And her website is The Quilted Fish. The Quilted Fish Patterns.com. So, Amanda, on your blog, which is thequiltedfish.typepad.com, you have started summer camp. What's summer camp about?
You know, it is a fun event for, I want as many people to participate as they as can, but I find for me that the summer ends up being the time when I spend the least amount of time being creative. So I'm sure it's similar for other people, and I wanted to create an event that would inspire us to get into our sewing rooms and out of the heat and create something fun. And so I'm going to do it every year. It's a challenge. This year it's featured around my glamp pattern, which is a cute little lamp.
Yes,
and I'm going to be giving away.
Of them.
Yeah, they're cute, aren't they?
Yes.
They're so customizable. I'm giving away 10 kits, but you don't have to be given a kit to participate. You can buy a kit off my website. And then anybody that wants to participate can make a glamp and submit a picture to me, and then we'll do voting. And then for prizes, I'm going to give away probably a $100 gift for the top prize, and then two $25 gifts for the second and third prize.
Ooh.
But everybody's going to get a little special prize that participates, and it's just going to be a lot of fun. I think it'll be a great way to see how we, how one thing I love is how somebody can take something and make it so different. So if we can get a whole bunch of people to take the same thing and make it their own, I'm just excited to see what the possibilities are.
You have five different versions. One has like, looks like a little skirt on it. You've got pom-poms, rick-rack, adorable.
Oh, yeah, you could go crazy. You can just do, you know, applique on it. You could piece it. You can, I mean, there's just, the possibilities are endless. And I'm really excited to see what people do with it. And I just put it up today. It's already been a good response. So I hope that more people will swing by and enter to win a kit and join us and participate.
Yes, they must join. They must. Now, I want to talk about your patterns because, you know, this one is obviously not a quilt. It's a lamp. And so, you know, you are sort of a variety pattern maker because you don't stay exclusively with quilts. You use fabric in a lot of other ways, which I think is totally wonderful because we have so much fabric, all of us, that it's great to have other ideas.
Absolutely. And I think we all love to make quilts. I mean, that's why we got into this in the first place. But sometimes to sit down and sew a quilt can be very time consuming. So to have a project that you can make somewhat quickly with your stash without having to buy a lot of supplies is a really exciting thing for a lot of people. I love finishing, but I don't always do it if it's a big long project. So to have something small and easy and, you know, something that you can display and use, I think is so much fun.
Now, your booth the last couple of times at Market has just blown me away. It's just been just so adorable at the trade show. And you are taking your fabric and using it, and you have like a theme when you come into your booth. How do you do that? You're just good.
Well, thank you. I love themes. I mean, what, you know, what good parties have you been to? Aren't they always themed? You know,
yes.
Harry Potter, or, you know, and my theme for the last one was the Mad Tea Party. And it was so much fun to have it revolve around a theme because it was made it really easy to come up with ideas of what to make to go in my booth. Because sometimes when you're being creative all the time, your well runs a little bit dry. So if you can center it around something, it's easier to come up with, you know, ideas to go with that theme. So it's kind of, it's just something I really enjoy thinking about. I'm already thinking about next spring and what my theme is going to be for next spring. So,
ooh, Well, let's talk about one of the main sort of projects that was in your booth, which is also a pattern on your site, is you made these little hats with your fabric
line.
Yes.
Weren't they so fun?
Oh, they're so fun. Can you describe how they are made? People can go to your website and see the pattern. But and what's the pattern name for those hats?
It's called We're All Mad Here, and they're mini top hats.
Yes, they're
and
so cute.
And if you don't want to wear one, I mean, if you, they're adorable, but, you know, a lot of people, where are they going to wear one to? So there's two versions in there. You can make a hat that you can wear, or you can make one for a pin cushion. So if you just want a fabulous little hat set next to your sewing machine, you can do that, and you don't actually have to wear it.
And on finials, too, it looks like, so you could...
Yeah, those are candlesticks, actually. I took a candlestick and put a little wood disc on top, and just it gave it a little fancy thing to sit on.
So
I think it needs something fancy to sit on.
Oh yeah, they're just so cute. Now, if you're making these, are you having to put cardboard because it has a brim? So how do you do the brim part?
Do you know, I am a huge fan of Peltex. I don't know if you've ever used it before, but it's made by the Pellon Company, and it's their heaviest fusible interfacing, and it's about, I don't know, it's not quite an eighth of an inch thick, but it's flexible, and you can buy it at your fabric store. It's I use it in so many things because it's shapeable. It's, you know, you can, I also have a crown pattern, and I use it in that as well because it gives you the weight that you need without having to use cardboard that doesn't always curve nicely. Cardboard's a little bit harder to work with, so Peltex, I love it.
And it seems like a lot of the little hats, for those of you who haven't seen them yet, she would wear them like sort of on the side. I mean, they'd be great for a party hat. And and the brim sort of curls up, so that product does that then.
Yes. Well, and part of that is the shape of the base, the hat that you're putting, you're attaching the brim to is curved. So when you attach the brim on, you're bending it to that curve. But Peltex gives you the flexibility to do that, whereas, you know, another product might not. So,
Did you put them on headbands then?
Headbands. Yep. They just slide right on a headband.
I just think they're so cute. And you even put them on a quilt.
You know what? There's so many things you could do with them. I think they'd be darling on a little baby in a baby picture. Or I have a lot of photographers buy the pattern off my website to use. And I think it would be really cute. You could take that same pattern and shrink it down and make it even smaller. And you could just do the cutest things with it. It's just darling. So...
Then you actually sort of transferred that whole thought, you know, going on your theme, make it easy for you. You made it a quilt with the same shape hat. Is that a paper piece block or?
Template piece. So it has templates that you cut out and then piece it together. And I love easy piecing. I love things that go together quickly. And that is not a hard quilt to put together.
And you made
I like to be done in a day.
Yeah, and you have big 3D flowers on it.
Oh, yes. 3D flowers. On that one, it has vintage rhinestone buttons.
Well, we must all run out and get some.
Oh, you must. Definitely. I always stock up. There's a place that, a company that comes to market every time, and I head right on over there and stock up.
Stock. Okay, so Amanda has bought all the vintage buttons. You'll have to check somewhere else. So, yeah,
Etsy.
These are...
I'm sure Etsy has them.
Well, that's true. Yeah, you can go. You can find them somewhere. Now, I want to know, since you use like these colors and you're designing fabric now, I'm always interested in fabric designers. Do you ever buy fabric anymore, or do you just have enough going on with your own line that that's what you work with?
You know, usually I do just keep work with my own line, but recently my husband and I bought a travel trailer that we call the Glamper.
Oh.
As in, like, glamorous camper. And, you know, we bought it brand new, but it had all of the brown and black upholstery in it, and I had to redo the whole thing. So I've been buying a lot of fabric lately for that because I wanted it to be bright and colorful and whimsical inside. So I've been buying a lot for that. But normally I don't buy a lot because, you know, between what I get and then Riley Blake is very generous to, if I need to work with something, they'll give me whatever I need to work with. So
Yeah.
I really don't have a need to buy a whole lot, but the Glamper has been a lot of fun to buy fabric for.
So I just, what's, did you get like an Airstream or what did you get?
Oh, I wish. Wouldn't that be fabulous?
I know.
No, but that's my goal. That's my goal. No, we just, it's just a Kodiak. It's not very cute on the outside. And I keep thinking maybe I'll get big vinyl stickers or something. I just don't think my husband would go for that though.
Yeah.
So I'll probably have to leave the outside. What was that?
Stickers might be good. You can take them off then.
Yeah, you know, like vinyl. Decorate it with vinyl. Make it all fancy. But we'll finish the inside first and see if he'll let me do that to the outside.
Yep. At least nobody, they don't see the inside when he's pulling it along. So that's
No.
It's a negotiation point there. So
no, so he doesn't mind the pom-pom fringe on the inside at all.
That's right. So Amanda, do you have a quilt like that you want to make? Because you know you've made a lot of quilts, and is there one out there that you're going, gosh, you know, someday I want to make that quilt?
There's two. Actually, there's one that's been in my closet that I started 3 years ago that I'd love to finish, and it's French roses. I don't remember who wrote the pattern. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The raggy edge roses that you sliced?
Yes. Yes. I started that forever ago. I'd love to finish that. And I'd love to do a carpenter star quilt.
Oh.
Because it's so different from anything I do. I just think it would be fun to do something, you know, different than me.
Mm-hmm. And would you do it in your fabrics?
No, I think I'd do traditional, just because I've never done anything like that. I think it would be fun to step outside of my box and try something like that.
It is. It's fun to go. Then you have to go buy fabric.
Oh, that's such a pity.
Yes, it is. It's a hardship.
I know. I just don't know if I'll be able to handle that. But I, you know, nothing like going to a quilt store and buying fabric. It's a lot of fun.
So you have, tell me in like 30 seconds, you have, what's coming up next for you?
I've got my next fabric line that's coming out called Delighted, and I've got two paper lines coming out with Basil Basics. They're coming out next week at CHA in Chicago. And I've got another fabric line that'll be coming out next spring. So lots of design work from me. Some other things too that I can't talk about quite yet, but exciting things on the horizon.
Those are always the secret projects. So.
I know, but isn't it fun? It's like
it is.
I love having the secret, and I love sharing it.
Yeah, there you go. Well, everybody has to come visit you at thequiltedfishpatterns.com. Amanda Herring, thank you, Amanda, for being here.
Thank you for having me, Pat. It's such an honor.
Well, I will see you again soon.
Okay, thanks.
Everybody come back next week. I have four guests. I have Alicia Hike Carlson, one of the founders of American Quilt Guild. I have Terry Grawl of the Enchanted Makeover. I spoke to the Bonnie Blue Design Girls at the trade show, and I was able to interview novelist Marie Bostwick about her latest novel. So come back next week. Visit us at allpeoplequilt.com. This is your host, Pat Sloan.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.